Joseph.
Lord, may you bless this time and this great study. Pray that we would learn something from it, Lord, and get a great blessing. And we encourage in your work. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So tonight we're doing stewardship. If you haven't one of those, Joseph, you click it. You hit that one there, okay? I tell you what, you can use it. Okay? So stewardship. This is lesson four. So far we've done holiness. We've done... What have we done so far?
Honesty.
Holiness, sorry.
Integrity.
Holiness,
faithfulness. Honesty. And now we're on stewardship. Okay. So, we're just going to find the verse, 1 Corinthians 4:2 being the main verse for stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Do you want to read that?
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Okay. So, a steward is to be faithful. So what is a steward? You can read the notes there.
An overseer managing the affairs of what God has given me on the earth.
On this earth. So that's what a steward is. Is an overseer, or someone like a manager. So in the business world, you have stewards as well, who manage and oversee people. But we are overseers, and the main boss is looking over our shoulder is God Almighty. So if you want to set off the introduction there, Joseph.
Okay. A spiritual Christian realizes that everything they have is from the Lord. James 1:17.
That's a spiritual Christian. Joseph, are all Christians spiritual?
No.
That's the problem, isn't it? James 1:17. What's that?
Are all saved people Christians?
Are all saved people Christians? Nope.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen. Amen. And do you also be there, Joseph?
That is, every something, every euro, every blessing and every sorrow is from the Lord. Job 1:10.
What's the fill in there, you think? Let's look at Job 1:10. Well, there it is, possession. Job 1:10. Now Job lost everything. For some reason I went to Psalms. Go ahead.
Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? But thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
So possession is the fill-in there. Now Job lost everything. He lost his health, lost his family, possessions, everything. Yet, according to James 1:17, it was all from the Lord anyway. And Job says then, in verse 21, he says, naked have I come into this world, and naked will I leave. God give and God take it away. That's the mindset of a spiritual Christian. And then, see, Marcus, would you see indeed?
As a steward, God has put me as an overseer to manage the affairs of what he has given me upon the earth. It belongs to our Lord, but he has put us in charge of something, it. And in this brief period upon his pilgrim journey.
So the fill-in there is managing. So God has put us in charge of managing it for this brief period of time. And then I love 1 Peter 1:17. Just go to one of these.
One thing.
Sorry?
One thing.
No, 1 Peter 1:17.
Oh, that people saw something.
Yeah.
I talked to James, he said. James, what posting? Posting, right.
Some of these studies are a little big to do in 45 minutes. We can get the benefit of getting the most of it.
Yeah.
117 there, Marcus.
Where is that?
117.
First Peter
117. First Peter
117. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
The idea is we're pilgrims, we're traveling through this time, this brief period, and we're to be stewards over what God has given us. Amen? That's the idea there. And would you also D there, Marcus?
So the definition of a steward is an overseer managing the affairs of what God has given me upon this earth.
Amen. You want to do E and F there, John, please?
E and F, okay. When you come with the mindset that it all belongs to God in the first place, it becomes so necessary for us to become so dependent on it.
Amen.
John 15:4. That's what it means to want more and more of Jesus. Jesus is the giver of life. He is the sustainer, and he's the only one that we have hope to throw at the end of our days. Psalm 19 in Hebrew.
We won't go to John 15:4, we just go to Psalms 19:12. This is Moses here. Go ahead, Sam.
Sam, thank you. The prayer of Moses to the man of God. Or Moses, the man of God. 1:12. So teach us to number our days that we may excite our hearts unto wisdom.
Amen. And also, Hebrews 9:27 says, can you remember what that says, Sam?
Hebrews?
Yeah. He's disappointed unto man.
But once right after the judgment.
Amen. After the judgment.
All right.
And you also F there, John.
All right. Stewardship is desperately lacking in most Christian lives in the day we live in. We are something by this world's food, but by the book, thinking that it is yours, you work hard for it, and you deserve it. This comes from our Western culture of self-gratification. It comes from the media, from advertisement, and from every salesman that has tried to something to before selling.
But in there is brainwashed.
Brainwashed.
We are brainwashed by this world.
And
you think of the media, you think of the advertisements, it's all wants to get your money, so it says, you deserve it. The mindset out there, I mean, a sales guy calls the door, he's going to promote, he says, you really deserve this product. I mean, you really do. You have to look after number one yourself.
That's the best.
So something there is brainwashed. It comes from every Western culture of self-gratification. It comes from media advertisement and from every salesperson man that tries to sell you something. Sell is a bit in there. But you know what? You get into God's Word, you get into reading God's Word, and you begin to understand a different mindset than what's out there in the world. You begin to think that, hey, maybe it's the Lord's after all. Now, to also do G there, John.
If we got what we deserve, we would be totally, we would be bombing in hell for all eternity. And in case it's true, we want to just see.
We just look at it very quickly. But that's reality we're looking at now.
Yeah.
Lamentations.
Yes, it's like Jeremiah,
isn't it? Jeremiah. Lamentations 3.
Is it before or after Jeremiah?
It's after Jeremiah.
Lamentations 3.
21. And I actually like verse 21.
That's okay.
You're okay.
This I recall in my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because the compassion fail not.
Down to verse 26.
Yeah. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hold forth and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Okay, and
blessed are those who wait on the Lord, they shall be satisfied.
Amen. So, Lumi, would you be able to do a couple? It's up to yourself. You can't, it's okay. Okay. Martin, would you do?
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Second pair that I felt, or that centre.
Well, James 1:22.
We need to be by the water of God and by daily walk with him. This yourself says God sees us. So,
okay, I'm sorry, John, I'm sorry.
Right.
And just go, maybe James 1:22 as well.
Yeah, thank
you. Sorry.
You okay, Lumi? Lumi, I know all about kids.
Yes, Martin.
Can I get the tongue?
Yeah, sure.
You can out that way anyway. You'll...
Yeah, I am. Not a problem.
No problem.
James 1:23.
James 1:23.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, as he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the man shall be blessed in his deeds. And if any man among you will say to your religious, and bribe not his tongue, but to save his own heart, that man's religion is vain.
Okay. So what's the mirror in that passage? The mirror is actually, when we look at, what's the perfect law of liberty? It's the word of God. And when we look into it, it's like we're looking into a mirror, and we begin to see ourselves as we are. So that's what the perfect law of liberty is there. And it shows us in the idea of stewardship that it all belongs to the Lord in the first place. If you want to do G now, G and H.
If we got what we deserved, we would be burning in hell for all eternity.
The fill-in there is blood-washed. Okay, we need to be blood-washed by the Word of God. That's the fill-in. So, and F you have brainwashed by the world, and G you need to be blood-washed by the Word of God. And then H and I.
This is a very sober message for the time we live in, because Jesus said in his last recorded words in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work shall be. He repeats it again in verse 20 in a similar manner. And the goal of this study of stewardship is to hear what the Bible says about managing God's possessions, so that our priorities would be properly aligned with the Word of God, and that we may be faithful.
So the key, the idea is Jesus is coming back very quickly, or quickly, and he actually repeats it in the same chapter. He says it twice in Revelation 22:12. So, I mean, I know we think, okay, he hasn't come back yet, but he's coming back very, very quickly. And isn't it true if you're an employee and you're working, you think the boss has stepped out for a while, you kind of get relaxed a little. I mean, come on, we all have human nature. Come on, Joseph. We all have human nature. But the thing is, Jesus sees us all the time. He's coming back, and the Bible says, quickly.
You know, if we're given stuff by God, surely God would make that stuff ours for us and we receive it.
Well, every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above. So it's the Lord's anyway. We just have possession of it in our lifetime.
Look out to God and got money.
it was God's, but then he gave it to us.
He did. He gave it to you as a steward. You're to manage it. You're to use it wisely. But it really belongs to the Lord. It ultimately belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord.
Go on, let's say a point. You know, in Colossians 1:13, it says, by Jesus Christ all things consist. So let's say Jesus just took his hand off the universe. So just pulled away. Everything you have just disintegrated. It just exploded into zillions of pieces. Everything would just go. You know, if you just let go.
Yeah.
So everything you have, he holds together. You know?
Okay.
Like even your body would just disintegrate. Every atom would just break apart. You know?
Part of
he holds it all together. So that's the power of God. And when he created everything, he, you know, even though you have a car, you work for it and maybe you earn money and you save for it. But you know, everything that was he gave to you, he's provided for your needs, you have a roof over your head, like, you know. Do you know what I mean? So you have air to breathe, you know? food to eat, food that you like, you know. And you have a bed to sleep in, like, it's just all things, like, you know. So but he gives all everything. He gives everything. Even though we think we earn it ourselves, but it's not true. He gives it
everything. He gives the brains, like.
He might give you the job. He might give you the job and the ability to make some money so you can buy these things, you know.
Sorry.
It's the Lord's in the first place. We go on to taking steward over God's heritage. Brother Joseph, would you do 1 and 2 there, please?
Taking steward over God's heritage, over our families. The Lord has entrusted me with caring, with taking care of my own family. Blank and foremost.
1 Timothy 5:8.
If any, provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house. He denied the faith and is worse than him.
What's an infidel?
Unbeliever, possibly.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah. It's, I've actually gotten it in my Bible, it's from Craig. Someone who hates Christians, an infidel. It's rougher than just someone who's an unbeliever. It's rougher than that.
An unbeliever is a fool, like.
Yeah,
an
yeah.
Infidel is he's a anti-Christian.
Yeah, anti-Christian, anti-God. So you become an infidel if you cannot provide for your own family. He's talking about your wife and kids and stuff like that. Because the Lord he's given you a wage, a salary, for the purpose of taking care of them first and foremost, even before the church, and then two there as well.
My wife is my something, given to me by the Lord so that I could serve the Lord to the best of my ability. Proverbs 19:14.
Proverbs, huh?
Proverbs.
Well, the fill in there is first and foremost.
My wife is my servant.
Proverbs.
My wife does this. Can I read that, sir?
Yeah, please.
Proverbs. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a proven wife is father.
Amen. So, my wife is, the Lord gave me my wife. He gave me my wife for one purpose, to be a helpmeet. The fill in there is helper or helpmeet, either one of those two. But she's to help me. You know, I watched a video there recently. It was very good. It's called Parenting as a Team. And it talks about, you know, when you raise kids, you do it as a team. Your wife, she kind of enforces the laws that you lay down as a leader in the house. It was actually very good. It talks about in Proverbs chapter 6, it says, honor the commandments of thy father and the law of thy mother. and talks about a team effort when raising kids. But the fill in there is helper, helpmeet, and then you want to finish off that.
Number three, is it?
Yes.
My children are the Lord's, some blank, which is his reward. Psalms 127:3-5. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
Amen.
As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Amen. Now he uses verse 4 there, it says arrows. An arrow can be used as a very positive thing, but it can be used for a very deadly thing as well. And kids are like that. You know, they're like arrows. You point them in the wrong direction, and then they will bring you hardship. They'll bring you a lot of pain. But you point them in the right direction, and they'll bring you reward. It says in verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And then there's many parents that have their house full of kids, and they're causing a lot of trouble in the house. So sometimes it's most important to realize just how they're raised. You put a lot of effort in there to raise them right. And the fill in there is heritage, the Lord's heritage. But the fact that they're not ours to begin with, they're the Lord's. If you want to finish off that.
Children are meant to be a blessing upon a couple. As parents, we have a responsibility to raise them godly. The Lord has entrusted them to us for the purpose of glorifying his name. The Bible compares them to something as arrows. They have to be pointed in the right direction and released out into the world for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to the Lord.
Put in there as arrows.
Arrows.
So, as stewards of our children, we don't really own them.
No, we don't. We don't own them.
So that's the thing.
That's right.
You have to get people that, you know, people, parents think they own the children.
I know.
They're mine.
And the thing is, that's why you dedicate them unto the Lord. Because they're the Lord's in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
The dedication is the purpose of giving them back to the Lord, because he gave them to the first place.
Yes.
That is most important. First, we're taking stewards over God's heritage. First is over our families, then over the gospel. If you want to read that, Marcus, 1 and 2 of it.
As Christians, we have been something with the life-changing message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As such, we have a responsibility and a command to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15.
Okay. We look at that Mark 16:15.
Said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel for every creature.
For every creature. So that's a high calling, isn't it? And we're entrusted with the gospel. What is the gospel, Marcus?
That Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
That's not the full gospel. What's the full gospel? It's Jesus dying on the cross, but it's also before and after. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that. Death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And we're for sin.
For sin, yeah. And we're entrusted with that gospel to proclaim it to this world. Because that's the only thing that makes a difference at the end of the day. And then we're going to go to Matthew 28. What's Matthew 28:19-20 called as well? It has a certain title or name to it. It's called the Great Commission. And it's a high calling here because it's 19 and 20.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
So here it talks about, in verse 19, go. That's the first command, go, and then teach all nations. That's a big command right there. All nations. And as an outward sign of obedience, we baptize them, first of all, or after they believe, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then, verse 20, teaching them observe all things. That's another big thing, isn't it? Because we talk about the whole Bible there. All things whatsoever I command you. And David Livingstone's final favorite verse in the whole Bible is that last verse there. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That was David Livingstone, the great missionary. That was his favorite verse in the whole Bible. So that's the command we're supposed to do there. That's how the filling there is entrusted with that responsibility.
Do you have a David Livingstone's biography or?
I don't know. No, I don't. And we'll do number two there, Marcus, as well.
The Lord has given each of us a unique testimony on how He saved us and on what He has done in our life. How the Lord has taken us up out of the horrible pit and put our feet upon a solid rock and established our going. Psalms 41:3.
A testimony is a wonderful thing. We all have unique testimonies. The thing about testimony is it's also a very fragile thing. It can be destroyed, it can be ruined by just one act of badness. You know, it doesn't take much, especially in this day and age. Psalms 41:3, Marcus.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my prayer. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my bones. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, and then praise unto our God. Then you shall see it and hear it, and shall trust in the Lord.
I like the fact there it's a new song, Marcus. You know, you could say a lot of times you're drawn back into the world, but God's put something new in my heart, a new song, sing praise and honor to Him, and not the old, you know, rock and roll of this world, even Christian, so-called contemporary Christian music. If you want to finish off that there, do three.
Churches are made up of it is our responsibility as Christians to help spread the message of the gospel.
Amen. So it's actually a command in the Bible. You know, we're not told, you know, if you don't mind, go and preach the gospel. It says you're commanded to go and preach the gospel. Every Christian. And the early Christians knew that. That's why they were so zealous of the truth. So first of all, it's our families we are to be stewards over, then it's over the gospel, and then it's over the local church. If you want to do that, John, one and two.
As Christians, we are born to one another as a local body.
Amen.
As a local body called the church. The first thing we must understand is that it is something church, God's church.
It's the Lord's church. Yes, please.
Acts 40, is it?
Acts 20:28. Are we okay, John?
Yes. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He had purchased with His own blood.
So whose blood was that?
God's blood.
God's blood. Amen. So when Jesus, you're never going to understand that, but when Jesus died on the cross, He was actually, that blood that was spilt was God's blood. You know? So that's why it's so precious. That's why the local church is so precious, because he purchased it with his own blood. His own blood. 1 Peter 5:3 then as well.
The chief shepherd had a pair.
The one before us. You can read verse 4 as well.
Yeah, neither has he laws over God's covetous, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd had a pair, he shall receive a crown of glory that faded not away.
Amen. So he's talking here, dealing with pastors and stuff. So he uses the statement there. Neither being lords over God's heritage. It's God's heritage, not ours. And we have to have that mindset when it comes to the local New Testament church.
Everything
is God's. Amen. And the reason we come here on the Sunday is not to hear great preaching, it's to hear from the Lord. To hear from the Lord. Finish off that there, John Key's energy.
As a steward, God puts me in the body of the church for the purpose of carrying out some work for the Lord.
Okay.
Personally, vital for the effectiveness of that church, 1 Corinthians.
Yes, please. You know, some people think if I don't show up on a Sunday, no one's going to miss me. But that's so wrong. Because we're all vital, we're all so... If there's only 4 or 5 of us here, and one of us didn't show up, well, we know that one person would be missed. But a church should be that if there was 100 people here, that if one person doesn't show up, that person's going to be missed. But that person could have blessed someone, that person could have said something to encourage someone. There's so many different ways that that person could be used. And we're all so important to each other.
Well, of course, yes, but...
Yes.
Well,
Mm-hmm. 12 to 22. 22, it's a bit long, but go up, go for it, John.
12 to 22. But as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, there being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many.
Mm.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body, as it had pleased them. And if they were all one member, where were the body? For now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our comely parts are more abundant comeliness.
That's good enough, John. That's it, John.
Right.
But just the number, there was an illustration one time with this pastor, missionary. He got someone to push. He was trying to illustrate the idea of the one body, and he got someone to, he said, I want to take this box and put it on the table or something like that. And then he said, okay, tie your hands behind your back and then see if you can put the box on the table. You know, he was trying to illustrate the fact that every part of our body is so important. I remember an illustration like that. But it just illustrates the idea that every part, everybody that's in the body of Christ is so important. God put you in for a reason. And nobody's less important. You know, the pastor's not less important than the person. Everybody's just equal in the body. We're brethren in the body. So, and then also, 3 John.
Churches are made up of different churches. Are made up of different ministries. As it goes, all ministries of development, and more the need of
servants.
For instance, there was a need of a different variety of Sunday school teachers, and all expected to teach their people as a short of God's heritage to be faithful, to live a clean life, to exemplify moral purity, and to have a strong personal support grace that our patients bear from preachers.
Well, 1 Corinthians.
Teach us a short of God's heritage for people.
We did that too.
Actually, no, I just want to do 1 Corinthians 9.
1 Corinthians 9.
And this is the one fear the Apostle Paul has.
Yeah.
And man, we need to have this as well. Yeah. In the context of 1 Corinthians 9, he's running a race.
Yeah.
And let's see what it says here.
My dear first one, not as uncertainly, not as uncertain sinlessly. So fight I, not as one that feels the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
That's a very strong word, it's like a throwaway there. That's a very strong word. And the Apostle Paul's fear when he preached to other people, you know, that he himself would be a castaway. The idea is to take care of what God has given us. And also, Mark, you're going to do 4 and 5 here, please.
As a steward, I need to be faithful to whatever position in the body that I find myself in, whether the Lord has given me 5 talents, or 2 talents, or just 1. Matthew 25, 14, 29. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. I like this. I'm glad I read this because I like the word traded there, you know?
Yeah.
I should have bought it again. Yeah. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came up and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, and will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. How many?
I'm not sure. It's 29.
He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not stored. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath.
Okay. So the key there is the fill in there, actually. Oh, no, actually, that's the next one.
Next one, yeah.
The idea is just to be faithful.
Yeah.
Whatever the Lord has given you, just to be faithful. In what, if he's given you a good singing voice, whatever he's given you, you'll be using it for his glory.
Yeah.
And that's the fill in there. Oh, that's then in 5. If you want to finish off that, Mark.
Yeah, 5. Yeah. The key message of this parable is that we are to be faithful over whatever the Lord gives us, so that in his return he will reward us according to our faithfulness. Verse 21.
Verse 21, which says...
His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou Amen. Hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things."
Amen. Being faithful. That's all the Lord wants us. I mean, if the Lord gave us just the bare ability just to do something in the church. You know, think of David. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness in any day. Just to do something for him. Amen. Before he comes back. And some examples of stewardship then. First one is Eliezer. And if you want to do that, Joseph.
Eliezer.
Yeah.
Even though he was only something like Abraham, he was entrusted with so much more. Proverbs 29:21.
The fill in there is servant. Proverbs 29:21.
He that diligently bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become the son of the king.
Amen. And that's what happens with Eliezer, isn't it? In 9:21.
He was faithful about his master's business. Genesis 15, verse 2.
The more you study about Eliezer, the more that you realize that he was a spiritual man as well. Genesis 15.
And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?"
And then 24:12.
And he said, "O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham."
Who's this praying here?
That's the servant.
This is Eliezer.
Yeah.
Eliezer. So Eliezer and then Psalm 15.
And read up.
Yeah.
And behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come up to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I should say, "Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink." And she shall say, "Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also."
Mm-hmm.
At the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Now, thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder.
So why in verse 14 did he ask for not just a certain type of action for her to do, not just to plead, or it says drink and I will to give her camel drink also? Why did he ask for that kind of a woman? Kind of like the idea where he didn't just want any wife for Isaac. He wanted a wife that was kind, just had a generous kindness to her. You know, he was looking for the right kind of woman. So he just says there, and the Lord blesses that. The Lord blesses faith there, amen. And so, do you want to finish off that Eliezer there?
And a faithful steward will always pray before going about the business of his master. They will be led of the Lord, not their own intuition.
Genesis 24:27.
It says, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I bring in the way the Lord lead me to the house of my master."
The Lord led me, yeah.
Led.
The house of my master. So that's the idea of faith. Faith is you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, and God leads you in the proper path. And then also, Jeremiah 10:23. I like this verse.
O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh in direct steps.
It's the Lord that directs us. But so many times we can direct our own speech and get into trouble because we don't pray. Prayer is the key right there. Prayer is the key that directs Eliezer. And then also do Joseph.
Okay.
That's the filling
there. Joseph. The Lord used Joseph to be the man of the hour to preserve the prosperity of Jacob and his family and in turn the Jewish nation. Joseph realized that the 7 years of plenty was going to be followed by 7 years of famine. As such, he was wise, something of the land and then Egypt to survive through this time.
So the filling there is Stuart. Genesis 41.
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God had shewed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in thy throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's head, raised him in vest of fine linen, and put a gold chain above his neck.
So Joseph goes from being in prison all the way to being second in command over all Egypt. Go ahead and read that.
Is that chapter?
After 7, it's actually 57. 47 to 57.
Oh, yes, of course.
After 7, 57.
Okay, I got you. And
it's 47 to 57. Yeah.
And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by its fruits. And he gathered up all the food 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn and the sand of the sea very much until he left numbering so as to get out. After Joseph was born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He made me forget all my time and all my father's house. And then the second son was Ephraim, for God had caused me to be fruitful in the land of Egypt. In 7 years of plenty, that was in the land of Egypt, winded. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and dearth was in all the land, what in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Grant Joseph what he said to you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and famine waxed over the land of Egypt. And all the country came into Egypt. Joseph put away corn because the famine was so sore in all the land.
I think that the Irish economy right now is needed for a Joseph somewhere. Hey, there's food over here!
A godly man.
A godly man, yeah. Because, see, Ireland never expected a day like today.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Well, I'm sure they saw it coming, but...
I wonder, was Ireland in famine too, at the same time, because it says... All the land.
That's right, yeah, all the land. Yeah. It seems like it was more of a universal famine, but...
Yeah.
All the land could mean Egypt too, though.
Yeah, it could be that land around them.
All lands.
Is it all lands? All lands.
Yeah.
So you have that came
right.
And
all that. Right. But like, yeah, I'd say that. Yeah. It does seem to mean that area around there. You know, that's there.
And then how to be faithful stewards. This is an important part. Can Claire Marcus one read A and B there?
learn from the examples of the characters of Scripture, Romans 15:4.
God gives these examples for reasons. Go ahead, Marcus.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Okay. So the reasons all these examples in the Old Testament are given to us is that we could follow them if they're good examples, and we could avoid them if they're bad examples, like Samson and so forth, like that. So the first thing is learn from examples of the character of Scriptures. And in B also, Marcus?
Something that everything that you have is from the Lord. Psalms 100.
What do you think the fill in there is?
Realize
is the fill in. Psalms 100 verse 3. Because most people don't realize it. They just think that it's theirs. I mean, you wrote and you work hard, you earned it, and you think it's yours. But that's not how the Lord looks at it. Psalms 100 verse 3.
Knowing that the Lord, He is God, it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture.
So that's really your answer to the earlier question. It's He that made us and ourselves. Everything we have is from Him. And Psalms 95, verse 6 then.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Amen. So He owns everything. And He determines everything. And then C then is, if you want to do that, John, C and... You just do C, D.
C.
C and D.
You cannot keep the law in your own flesh.
Amen.
Romans 8.
That's so true. Romans 8.
Romans 8.
Well, I tell you, we sure try, don't we?
Romans 8, 7 and 8. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, always are subject to the law of God, you know, he can be. So then, dead are all the flesh, cannot please God.
What does the word enmity mean? Sorry, I didn't realize you're not finished. What does the word enmity mean?
Huh?
What does the word enmity mean? That's right, a war. So the carnal mind and the spiritual mind are like two opposite things. Like the verse in Galatians where it says the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another, and they cannot please. They cannot please both. They cannot please both. And I like that verse. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But even if I'm very religious, even very, I still cannot please Him if I'm in the flesh. And then also, D, John.
As a steward, realize that He sees you at all times.
Philippians 4:5. Well, that's convicting, isn't it?
Philippians 4:5. As a steward, realize that He sees you at all times. Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That's Philippians 4:5. Huh? And also Psalm is 1.
Psalm 139.
Psalm 1.
So the Lord is right by my side.
The Lord.
He's at hand. He's in hand. Psalm 139.
Psalm 139.
Yeah.
They want advanced athletes as
well. Oh.
So everyone popped in one period.
My Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts of thou all. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and thou acquainted with all my ways. For thou hast a word in my mouth, but thou, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Mm.
So, we can't escape from the Lord. He's everywhere. Right. And, I mean, it's just so true. Did you ever, at least with me, sometimes I think of a need that I need to pray about. Uh-huh. Before I even pray about it, the Lord answers it. Exactly. Does that ever happen? You know where...
Standing in the step pod, not closet. Right?
Yeah, because God knows what I have even before the thoughts are in my mind.
Standing in the step in the closet.
I know. He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
You're not in the closet, you can't escape.
That's right. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And a spiritual Christian realizes that. And also, either, Mark, if you want to finish with me.
Each day that goes by, look for his appearing as having to give account to the Master when he returns. Yeah. 2 Timothy 4:8.
That's the key right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if I'm a steward, I'm always thinking, is my boss going to show up? Because I'm supposed to be faithful to him.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing.
Amen. That's the key there. Keep yourself in understanding that he can come back at any moment. He could come back before the end of the night, and you have to give an account. And then you find yourself always keeping very, you know, when you fall, you get up quickly because you fear him coming back. That's the way it's supposed to be, you know. That's what being a faithful steward is. You know that you have to give an account to him. And if no one else sees you, the Lord sees you. That's what a steward does.
So, steward over what? We looked at
steward over
God's heritage, over our family.
Over our families, over the gospel, over the local church.
Over our children.
Yeah,
the gospel. The local church, yeah.
Local church.
And money, so.
Well, money's there.
In Matthew 25, you know.
Yeah. It talks about different things there, but being a steward is over everything. He owns everything in the first place.
Yeah.
And, he owns all ourselves.
He what?
That this steward's over ourselves.
Sure, over ourselves. A lot of things you can be steward over, but I just broke it up into three areas there, over our families, over the gospel, over the local church, because they're the three important areas. And, you know, it's just so important. But isn't it so true that we're brainwashed by this world? I mean, when I came a Christian first, you know, you think, 10%? Are you serious? 10%? I mean, like, I remember being a young Christian and being afraid to tell people, you know, you're supposed to give 10% when you give to local church. I know, yeah. A couple euros or a couple pounds or stuff.
Yeah, it's a big change.
It's a big change. And you almost be afraid the unsaved would find out that about you, you know?
Yeah. It's in a court.
Yeah?
Yeah. Judge asked for a list of my uncles. Before that he was doubting if I could give anything or much at all.
Yeah.
And he saw that. Give him a blank check.
Yeah. It's just this world is brainwashed.
The only way you can see true is just get into God's word and just allow the blood to cleanse you and see clearly once again. We're finished. We're going on longer because I heard a few minutes ago John was only at Isaac still. But still going.
Finished.